So right at that point, you've moved to Chicago. You've been there about a year. The personal is political. I want to hear and understand what for you was that aha moment and what made you decide to do that work and that genesis of your passion about it.
Yeah, so I feel like work around prison is basically anti-racist work. I know that, of course, there are white people in prison, as there are, you know, all around the world. But if you look at the imprisonment rates, if you subtracted out the imprisonment rates of black people, people of color, from the overall imprisonment rates, prisons in the United States would look like prisons in Sweden or something. And they look very, very different. When you walk into a prison, most of the time you feel like you're walking, I felt like I was walking onto a slave ship half the time. So for me, prison work is a continuation of anti-racist work. I was in high school and college, I was part of Northern supporter of the civil rights movement and then the Black Liberation Movement. And really for me, this work is a continuation of that work. And then I was just lucky enough to encounter people in Chicago who felt similarly. I had actually done some work around San Quentin when I lived in California and was part of a group called the August 21st Coalition, in which we were concerned about racism of the guards toward the prisoners in San Quentin. This was back in the 70s, I think. And then I met people in Chicago who had been involved in prison work in the South, in Alabama, and then the Pontiac prisoners' struggle in Illinois, which was the largest death penalty case ever, involved a prison rebellion in Pontiac Prison in Illinois. And then, so we just were a small group of people who came together with similar backgrounds around prisons and was just lucky enough to encounter each other.
I'm struck by you saying that the Marion Control Unit was a restructuring. It was the first wave of restructuring prisons as we know it. You're someone who's been involved in challenging structures, restructuring. So, Nancy, in your own history, you were active with something called the Yippies. And how does that play into this?
Yeah, so the Yippies, the Youth International Party, which was a party. We're not a card-carrying party. A small group of people who were interested in melding together the youth culture of the 60s with the political movement of the 60s. And we tried to do that in a lot of different ways. You know, we ran a pig for president, and Pegasus was his name. We levitated the Pentagon, that is, we surrounded it and incanted and it actually, you know, in order to get it to raise off the ground so that the evil spirits could flee out. And we usually say we were unfortunately only able to raise it a certain height. So we haven't fully yet succeeded, but hopefully one day soon. So we did a lot of creative things and yeah.
So did the Yippies have kind of an economic structural analysis or anti-racist analysis or clearly anti-militarism and imperialism because of the Pentagon? But what about the economy?
Oh, I'd say all of the above. I mean, one of the first actions of the Yippies was when Jerry Rubin and Abby Hoffman and I think Stu Albert, I was not there yet, went down to Wall Street. And at the stock exchange, they dropped money all down and watched everybody scatter around, trying to get it. And then they burnt dollar bills in a symbolic action about capital and money as the root of everything important.
So maybe you can take us forward from this melding of rethinking cultural norms and societal structures into finding some people in Chicago that said, hey, this doesn't smell right.
Yeah. Well, you know, so one other definition of the Yippies is a hippie who got hit over the head with a club. I mean, that was one other way we like to look at it sometimes. And some of us did, like literally got hit over the head. Stu Alpert got clubbed and was bleeding standing next to me during Chicago 68. That was a protest against the Democratic Convention and the war in 1968. I came into contact more personally with the prison system, the criminal justice system, through working with the Yippies, actually. My partner was Jerry Rubin, and he was imprisoned a number of times. I was arrested at the Pentagon. That was my first arrest. And that was not a drastic situation. It was, sometimes I call it white people's arrest, but anyway.
Meaning what?
Well, you know, when if you most of our civil disobedience, we were trying to get arrested. So, and generally people don't try. And then when we would encounter conditions inside, in the beginning at least, it was quite different than what people of color would experience or even white people who were in prison for regular crimes. So we were held in a huge school with hundreds of cots side by side, all the women in one place. I don't know where the men were. And it was basically a big party at night. And the next day we pled guilty and $25 or nolo contendere, which means you don't contest the crime. And then you pay $25 and walk out the door. So it was an easy experience. But then I would visit, I visited Jerry in Cook County Jail, which was really awful. I started visiting other people in prison because I was exposed to, most of the time prisons are shrouded in secrecy, but here, because of our activities, we were exposed to the realities of prison. And once you see that, if you have any conscience, you are moved by that. And I think that was part of the evolution.